Let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning. What a great truth for us to sing that only through you is true goodness, and anything good that we do is through your hand. And the ultimate good has been accomplished by you through Jesus for us. Help us to live in light of that truth today. And as we hear your word this morning, we pray that you'd move in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm really grateful for the worship team, and thank you, Andrew, for leading this morning. I know my heart is encouraged and prepared. Turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. We are back in the book of Ruth today. Last week, Pastor Brian introduced us to the book of Ruth and preached through chapter 1. And today, we are going to continue that series. So for those of you who are with us for the first time, or maybe if you weren't here last week, the associate pastors are all preaching through Ruth in preparation for Christmas, because it really does have everything to do with the coming of Christ. Ruth chapter 2. And I hope that you were able to, if you weren't here last week, that you were able to listen to the message. If you haven't, you really, really need to get the backdrop for the story, to get some important details that are really leading into what we're going to talk about today. I think to get the full measure of that, you really need to go back and listen to that message if you haven't been able to. It was two sermons rolled into one, and it was fantastic, and I know that my heart was personally challenged. I think by now you've made it to Ruth chapter 2. What I'm not going to do is I'm not going to take the time to fully repaint the picture from last week. Instead, I want to at least just mention the theme of chapter 1. The theme that Brian brought to us last week is this: the faithful God is faithfully working through difficulty. The faithful God is faithfully working through difficulty. For chapter 2, I've chosen the following theme: the faithful God is faithfully working to provide. The faithful God is faithfully working to provide. And with that, let's now jump into the text. You can stay seated because we're going to read through a whole chapter, but you can follow along with me as I read. Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. Then she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she's continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? At where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "This man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Pray with me once more. Lord, thank you for this section of scripture that we get to look at today, this incredible story. Pray that you would help us to understand it more clearly today, and I pray that your spirit would move in our hearts as we read your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The theme of Ruth that we have chosen is the God who works faithfully, the God who faithfully works is always working faithfully. And this is something that we see consistent in every single chapter of Ruth, and particularly chapter 2 that we just read. We see the faithful God is faithfully working to provide. So last week we ended, and I'm not going to give the whole background of the book of Ruth. You need to go listen again to last week's sermon. That's the last time I'm going to say it, but you really need to. Last week we ended on the cliffhanger, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest, and that's where we left off. And this detail is extremely important, because this is the exact plan of God, this very specific time. Above any other time, this is so incredible that they just so happened to come to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. That is not a just so happened, that is God's plan. That is God's plan. So from the beginning of chapter 2, all the way until the end of the chapter, we basically are covering, the time frame covers the entire harvest season, the barley, and then the end of verse 23 says, gleaning until the end of barley and wheat harvest. So this whole chapter is during harvest time. That's the setting, that's the time and where this takes place. And the location's Bethlehem. They're in Bethlehem. That's the location for everything in this chapter. And so every single detail in that matters. Every single detail in that matters. It matters that it's harvest. It matters that the location's Bethlehem. Why did they go to Bethlehem? Why did they go back there? Well, ultimately, they went there by God's hand, but their decision was based on Naomi's dead husband, Elimelech. Elimelech's clan resided in Bethlehem, and so their land that Elimelech had owned was there as well. And so Naomi returns with Ruth to Bethlehem in a desperate attempt to survive. I'm just going to try to get straight to the point this morning. I've got five specific truths from this text over the chapter for us to observe. Five truths. Here's the first one. God provides for the faithful. God provides for the faithful. And the faithful one that I want to mention here is Ruth. Not Naomi's faithfulness, but Ruth's faithfulness. We'll get to that in just a moment. In verses 1 and 2, we have two distinct thoughts. They're not entirely disconnected, since God's hand is connecting these two, but in the mind of Naomi, these are not connected at this point in the story. Verse 1 says, "Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz." Okay, that's one thought. And then we're introduced to a new character, right? The sort of hero, the redeemer figure, Boaz. And then verse 2, "Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.'" So this is a second and distinct thought. So we do not have any indication that Naomi set her sights on Boaz as they came to Bethlehem. In fact, she knew of Boaz. But the surprise we see in her response later indicates that she had not directed Ruth to Boaz. But to stay with the flow of the passage, let's focus on Ruth for a moment, and we'll come back to Boaz. What we see in Ruth at this point is incredible. And we can sum it up by the first observation underneath this main truth in your outline, and that is this: Ruth was faithful to her promise. Ruth was faithful to her promise. Back in chapter 1, we saw the incredible devotion of Ruth to Naomi, but not just to Naomi. We saw the devotion of Ruth to Naomi's God, Yahweh. And now in chapter 2, what we see is that Ruth did not give an empty promise. She was faithful. She was faithful because as they lodged in Bethlehem, Ruth began to look for a way to provide for her mother-in-law. She was following through. In fact, she sort of begs Naomi to let her go. Now, the work that Ruth was setting out to do was about the only honest thing that those desperate women could do. And that was to glean the little small pieces of barley that fell off of the bundles or out of the bags or baskets of the reapers as they harvested. And this was no small task. I think we sort of have this idea in our mind that there's handfuls of this stuff laying around. That's not the case. Barley is a type of grass, a grain, and the excess, if there ever was any excess, was not by the handful. We're talking about very small, tiny, broken pieces of barley and tiny individual grains. And so you can imagine these starving, hungry people in the field. And you can imagine the clamor and the scraping and the fighting, perhaps, that these poor, miserable, starving people would do as they would throw themselves at the smallest dropped piece. And maybe now you have a little bit better picture of the kind of work that Ruth was volunteering for. And if you were really, we can't say lucky, but if you were really lucky, really blessed, you could glean from the very edge of the field. We'll look at this in just a moment. Why was this the kind of work that Ruth chose? Couldn't she just have tried to do something else? Couldn't she have worked at a store in the marketplace? No. I believe that actually Ruth's decision was reflective of her promise to Naomi's God. And I love this detail. The reason I say that is because God had instituted a small provision for widows and fatherless and sojourners. The provision was that they could collect little pieces of leftover grain and whatever was accidentally forgot that was left in the field. There's two passages that I want to point you to. Deuteronomy 24, verse 19, gives instructions for the nation of Israel. It says, when you reap your harvest, speaking of when they would go into the land, when you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. And when you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterward. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this. Right, that's from Deuteronomy 24. And the other passage we find regarding this is Leviticus chapter 19, talking about the edge of the field. Listen to this. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. Right, that's the leftover pieces that we talked about. And you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. So this provision of God, this was God's way of providing. God's way of providing. And so that's what Ruth set out to do. To go to a field to glean the leftover pieces, the things that had fallen off of the bundles or the broken little husks that perhaps lay on the ground. And who knows who was also competing with her in that field. And perhaps there were moments when she could gather what was on the very edge of the field. Well, think about this just for a second. Setting out to do this work was really Ruth's adoption of God's way of provision for Israelite widows. And why do I bring that up? If Ruth was a Moabite woman from a pagan culture, one of the methods that pagans utilized for provision was prostitution. If Ruth came from that pagan culture where that method was utilized, I'm sure it perhaps would have come to her mind to sell herself to get money so that they would not starve to death. By the way, that would not have been unusual in a pagan society. In fact, one of the issues that we see in Scripture regarding the surrounding nations was their acceptance of sexual perversion and prostitution, even in worship practices. This was commonplace among idolatrous cultures, but Ruth was no longer an idolatrous woman. She now worshiped the true God alone. So she left behind her pagan roots, her pagan worship, her pagan way of thinking. So her decision actually reflects a changed perspective. And Ruth was now going to rely on the provision instituted by Naomi's God, who is now Ruth's God. Here's the second observation. God provided through his control. God provided through his control. I love verse 3. So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. Elimelech is Naomi's deceased husband. She just so happened. That's no accident. I do not believe that this was Ruth's intention or Naomi's intention. It was God's intention. It was God's intention. And God was going to provide in a tremendous way through his control. In verse 4, we get a little bit of a glimpse into the kind of guy that Boaz was. he calls out to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they called back, "The Lord bless you." And that's really intriguing. That's really intriguing. What does that detail tell us about Boaz? Well, first it tells us that Boaz served the Lord. It indicates that Boaz served the Lord. Remember, this whole story takes place at the time of the judges. And what is the consistent theme that we see throughout Judges? It's this sentence. It's actually the way that the book of Judges ends. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's the sad state of the nation of Israel in Judges, and which is the same time that this story takes place. But here, we see Boaz recognizing the Lord in his relationship to his workers. The second thing this tells us is that Boaz was a kind landowner who had a great relationship with his workers. The fact that they all respond in a similar way shows an example of the sort of relationship that he had with them. And by the way, this was not super common for landowners to be kind. Throughout Israel's history, God repeatedly addresses the abuse and the selfish wickedness of landowners. We see that in the Pentateuch all the way through the prophets, especially in the prophets. So here is this man, this kind landowner, who has a great relationship with his servants. And God was the one who directed Ruth to this exact spot. And here's the moment that Boaz notices Ruth. And this is sort of a peculiar moment. Why would Boaz ask about Ruth? Why would he ask about her? Well, with other hired laborers, people perhaps who were seasonal workers or who didn't have steady income, perhaps there were other widows or orphans or sojourners following the hired reapers. In all of them, Boaz takes notice of Ruth. And I think he probably noticed Ruth because she was a foreigner. Because she was a foreigner and would have been curious why a foreigner was in his field alone. But I think it was more than that. I believe Boaz takes notice of her because God was moving in his heart. It was God who was behind the scenes directing his gaze. It was God who was behind the scenes directing his attention and his compassion. It was God who caused Ruth to just so happen to go to his field. And so Boaz's servant relays a great report about Ruth. She had been laboring. She'd been working so far that entire day with only one short rest. And Boaz immediately knows who she is. We know that because in chapter 1, verse 19, when Naomi and Ruth return to Bethlehem, it says that the entire town was stirred. And later on in the chapter, we see that Boaz definitely has heard of her. So this leads to our second main truth for today. God provides for the humble. And here's the moment where they meet. Boaz approaches her, and what he says reveals a few things about Boaz and about God's provision. First, he tells her to stay in his field, to stay with the young men, the young women. And what does that mean? He's referring to the young women in his employment who are part of the gleaning process. He says, let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Boaz wanted Ruth to stay with his workers and stay in his field and not be distracted by other opportunities in other fields that were nearby. The second thing we can see is that he had already given instructions for his young men not to touch her. I think this was perhaps something that Boaz had made as a rule among his workers for them not to be abusive or to lay hands on women, but here he applies it to Ruth. He is showing her that it's safe. It's safe here. It's safe with his young women, safe among his workers. The third thing we see is that his instructions are to for her to drink from the water that the young men have drawn. This is very significant, a really important detail. Water was something that had to be drawn out of a well somewhere else. And because of its weight, water had to be carried to the fields by stronger, younger men. But this water would have been reserved, especially because of its limited supply, for those who were servants and those who were hired by Boaz. Ruth was not employed by Boaz. So his provision for her to drink in safety was actually very significant, and it was out of the norm for a widow or a beggar gathering scraps in the field. Why? Why did he do this? Was it because he simply thought she was attractive? Well, the text doesn't really tell us that, but perhaps that entered his mind. I think the real reason was this. The real reason is this. God was providing. God was in control. And he was working to provide even in the smallest details of giving Ruth protection and access to water. And I guess I just want to pause for just a second and recognize something. So far in God's provision, Ruth and Naomi are not out of their situation. And the reason that I want to point that out is as we walk through every aspect of this chapter today, what we will see is God's provision here and here and here and here all over chapter 2. God's provision. And yet at the very end of chapter 2, Ruth and Naomi are not out of their situation. And the reason I want to point that out is because I want to encourage you. God provides at every stage. God's only way of provision is not getting you removed from your situation. Instead, God is faithful to provide while you're in your situation, even in the details, especially in the details. And this is what we see in Ruth. So Ruth replies to Boaz, and I want us to see the importance of a reply. In your notes, we see that Ruth was humble in her speech. Ruth was humble in her speech. Here is her humility. She falls on her face. She bows all the way down until her face actually touches the ground. And that's a sign of extreme humility. It would have been acceptable for Ruth to bow her head and to bend at the waist to show reverence as a guest in Boaz's field. But it wasn't required for her to lay on the ground and put her face in the dirt. But she did. She says, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" Ruth knows that she's undeserving of Boaz's kindness. And if you study scripture, what you find is that the Moabites were actually a very hated people. They were a hated people by the Israelites. Israel hated the Moabites. And I think Ruth knows this. And so this is the exact opposite reaction that Ruth anticipated, being a Moabite woman in an Israelite field. Notice second, and this is in your outline, God provided through his servant. God provided through his servant. But Boaz answered her, "All that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me," right? That's we recognize Boaz already knows who she is. He's already received the report. He says, "And how you left your father and mother in your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel." And this is, I love this right here, "under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Whose wings? God's wings. You left your idolatrous nation and your family and your people, and you came to take refuge under the wings of God. This truth is easy for us to overlook. It's so easy for us to overlook. In the Old Testament, particularly in the prophets, we consistently find God providing a way for people, anyone who will turn to Him, to receive His goodness, His grace. We see that in the city of Nineveh. They turn away, a completely pagan people, a completely evil people. They turn to God and they receive His grace for a time until they turn against Him later on. But still, God is always faithful to open up the door for His grace, even to outside nations that will seek and will follow Him. And so it is consistent for God now to open His door of grace to Ruth, who has left behind her idolatry and she's turned to serve the one true God. Boaz recognizes this. She's coming to take refuge under the wings of God. So Boaz had heard the news. He had heard the news. And he says something really important. He says, "The Lord repay you for what you have done." That's an amazing statement. Another indication of Boaz's faith in God that shows us something else. Boaz understood that he was an instrument in God's hand of provision. His response of "the Lord repay you" shows his understanding that God gives grace to those who seek Him. And Boaz wants to be part of that plan. He wants to be part of that plan. He wants to be part of God's provision. And I have to say that this is one of the most exemplary moments in the entire book. To desire someone else to be blessed by God and to desire to be part of that blessing. That's absolutely remarkable, and it's an example for us. Just a side note here, but do you want to be a part of God's plan of provision for other people? For God's provision for others? Do you have the desire to be part of that plan? Then here's the real question: how are you doing that? How are you taking steps as God's servant, as God's instrument, God's extension of grace, to desire to be that and to actually participate in that are two separate things. We see that Boaz did both. And we see that because of the measures that Boaz takes to be a blessing to Ruth and through that to Naomi, his relative. God provides through His servants. And Ruth responds to Boaz that, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." Here's the third truth for this morning: God provides for the needy. God provides for the needy. In verse 13, Ruth had acknowledged her situation. She is not one of Boaz's hired servants. Her position is one of great need. She's a widow. But notice what God does next. Verse 14, "And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her.'" First observation is that Ruth was needy in her position. Ruth was needy in her position. And her need is demonstrated by the fact that she continued to work. Remember that this is the only hope of food for Ruth and Naomi. This work in the field. And in the meantime here, we have this scene of Boaz eating with his laborers, his workers. But something very unique happens. Boaz invites Ruth to the meal. He invites her to the meal, which means that she was not already participating. She wasn't sitting down in at the dinner together with all of the hired laborers. She was a widow. She was not a hired worker. She was not a hired servant. She would not have been permitted to sit and eat free food alongside the laborers. By the way, I love that Boaz took care of his workers this way, providing them a meal in the midst of a long day's work. So here's Ruth, this widow in great need, gathering scraps in the field, and Boaz invites her in. And this leads us to our second observation in this section. God provided abundance. God provided abundance. God's provision is just like this for us. I'm speaking of spiritually. This amazing picture we have here is of this poor woman who is struggling to survive. And she's invited to eat at the table with the master of the field. And I can't help but notice the comparison to our spiritual destitution. For those who were in Christ, we were once destitute, spiritually starving, poor, helpless. And yet God has invited us to have a seat at the master's table. This is the heart of God, to bring those who are needy and helpless and to fill them up, to give them abundance. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," and he gives himself the bread to those who are spiritually starving and destitute. And I love that picture. What we have in our text today is a very, very, very small picture of that. Ruth is invited to the table, and Boaz intentionally passes her food himself. He extends grace to her, and it says that she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. I love that. What a great picture of God's provision. What surprises me about God's provision is that his grace goes beyond meeting Ruth's need. It keeps on going. It keeps on going. Because Boaz now gives instruction to his workers. He gets up at the end of the meal and he instructs his workers. Get this, he tells them to actually pull out some of the grain from the sheaves, from the bundles, and to drop it on the ground for her. That's amazing. Before this, she was scraping and she was searching for tiny bits of seeds or broken little husks or the few pieces on the edge of the field that she could pull up. And now she's gathering by the handful. And this is the God that we serve, the God who provides in abundance. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? Are you struggling right now in a time of need? You know, it can be really tempting for us to think that God's provision is going to come in large amounts of wealth or riches or a complete life change. But notice this, Ruth wasn't hired. She wasn't given a salary. She wasn't given bags of money to make her rich. Instead, she was given food. She was given food, meeting her need, and she was given in abundance. And God promises to provide for our needs. He was providing for Ruth and Naomi through this. Let's look at the fourth truth in our text. God provides for the hopeless. God provides for the hopeless. And here the scene transitions. We move from the field of Boaz back to Bethlehem, to the place where Ruth and Naomi were staying. And the first observation we make here is, and this is in your notes, is that Naomi was hopeless in her sorrow. Naomi was hopeless in her sorrow. Remember, Naomi didn't want to be called Naomi anymore. In chapter 1, we see that when they came back to Bethlehem, she wanted to be called by the name Mara. Why? Well, because she said, "The Lord has dealt very bitterly with me." Naomi was hopeless. She was in deep sorrow. And I wonder if Naomi was dreading that moment when Ruth would come back home. Wondering if Ruth had been beaten, if she had been abused, if she had been able to gather anything at all for their next meal. When you are hopeless and when you are in deep sorrow, it is next to impossible to anticipate good news. And Naomi could have never dreamed of the news that she was about to receive. Here's our second observation in the section. God lovingly provided hope. God lovingly provided hope. So I love this scene where Ruth comes home to Naomi. And what does she have? Well, she has her leftover food from the earlier meal. Remember, she ate at the meal with Boaz. And she had leftovers. She brought that, and she has an ephah of barley. She has an ephah of barley. She had beat out the barley, verse 17, we see that she had taken it and beat out the barley until the grains were left. So she had done her best to separate the grains from the stalks and the husks. So she was only bringing back the grain. And what was left over was an ephah of barley grain. So what's an ephah? What is that? Well, in dry measurements, it comes out to around a bushel. So she was bringing back a bushel of grain. Now, how much bread can you make? How much barley bread can you make with a bushel of barley grain? Well, an ephah, or a bushel, is about 10 omers. Omers, that's another ancient measurement. And an omer of grain... We're getting somewhere. Just relax. An omer was a tenth of an ephah. A tenth of an ephah. All right? So a tenth of what she brought back would have made enough bread, actually more than enough bread, to feed a man in a day. So since an omer was a tenth of an ephah, this means that she brought back more barley grain than one man could eat in 10 days. So this could have easily provided, if she didn't go out again, this could have easily provided for Ruth and Naomi for a week. And that's astounding. There's no way she should have been able to bring back that much. But God was providing. God was providing. And God's provision is astounding. But that's not the deep hope that we see come to Naomi. The fact that Ruth brings back an abundance of food does not meet the need that she has in her sorrow. The real hope comes from the news that Ruth brings. Verse 19, her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she worked and said, "That man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." And now Naomi is filled with hope. Look at what she says. "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." You can almost feel the shock of Naomi. The first thing that catches our attention is that Naomi immediately recognizes that this is no accident. This is not just a coincidence. This is God's work. God has done this. She says, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. That's a huge statement. Now there is hope. Hope. God has not forsaken her. God has not withheld his kindness. God has provided. And for the first time, Ruth understands who it was that she was around all day. Boaz. Naomi calls him one of our redeemers. What does that mean? Well, the meaning of the term is central to the entire story. God instituted provisions in the Israelite community back in Deuteronomy 25 and Leviticus 25. And we don't have time to go explore those passages, but in those passages, they have to do with the widow and the lands of a deceased man. The provision was that a family member could marry the widow of their deceased relative, and one of the possible potential redeemers could buy the land belonging to their deceased relative. So this idea of Boaz as one of the possible redeemers, and remember Naomi says he's one of our redeemers because he's not the only one, and this will come into play later. We'll see, but I'm not going to steal that sermon. This idea of Boaz as one of the possible redeemers shows that there is hope for Elimelech's land as well as his family. The point is that God provided hope for a hopeless woman. He provided hope for a hopeless woman. This is incredible. The woman who wished for her name to be called Mara was now filled with hope through the love and kindness of God's provision. Let's close with the last truth for today. God provides for the vulnerable. God provides for the vulnerable. Verse 21, and Ruth the Moabite said, besides, he said to me, you shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. We see two simple things. First, Ruth was vulnerable in her condition. Ruth was vulnerable in her condition. This is evidenced by what Naomi says to Ruth. She basically tells her to stay in Boaz's field. This is good for you to remain there. And the reason that Naomi says that is due to safety. Safety. Naomi says, lest in another field you be assaulted. And Naomi was right. It would not have been uncommon for that to happen. It's hard for us to imagine because of the drastic difference in cultures and advancements. But just think about this for a minute. Most of these fields were worked by hired laborers. And often these could be people who basically had no jobs. They went into town in the morning and they would wait for work to come up for someone to hire them. And this is the same idea that we get in Jesus' parables, right? Jesus, in his parables, talks about hired laborers. Remember that one that talks about people being hired at different points in the day but all receiving the same wage? This is the same exact kind of situation here, hired laborers. Now think about this for a moment. And this is a sort of rough group of people. Already perhaps an outcast bunch, and perhaps they treated widows and sojourners and orphans with contempt. I imagine them maybe kicking them in the head if they got too close while they were picking up pieces of broken barley. Perhaps some would even go far as to sexually violate the women who picked up pieces after them in the fields. We don't have all of the details, but what we do know is that there is a very real risk in following reapers in the fields. And we know that it's risky because of what Naomi says, but also we know it's risky because Boaz reassured Ruth back in verse 9 that he commanded his laborers not to touch her. So we know there's a safety issue. Ruth was vulnerable in her condition as a widow, as a woman far away from her homeland with her husband dead. But notice, second, God provided through his kindness. God provided through his kindness. And this is how the chapter closes. God, in his kindness, provides for Ruth and for Naomi as Ruth stays in the fields of Boaz all the way through the end of the barley and wheat harvests. God provided. The entire harvest season. She didn't come at the end when she had 3 or 4 days. She came at the very beginning and was in Boaz's field the entire harvest. An entire harvest where she basically got to bring home abundance, excess. God provided. He provided for the vulnerable and the hopeless and the lowly and the humble and the faithful. So after looking at all of this in chapter 2, and we've just sort of screamed through the chapter, we can zoom out and we can say this with absolute assurance. God is faithful to provide. So let me close with this. What difference is that going to make in your life today? For some of you, I want to ask, what is it that no matter what proof, no matter what the illustrations, no matter what the scriptures, you're just not willing to trust God? If that's you, then we have a different issue. If that's you, then your real need is not the need that you're feeling. There's a different need. But some of you, and this is what actually, this drove me to tears this week, thinking about you. Some of you have been like Ruth. You've been faithful. You've been humble. You've been needy and vulnerable. And it just doesn't seem like God is providing. Let me encourage you with something. When Ruth's husband died, when she chose to worship her mother-in-law's God and travel with her mother-in-law and stay with her, she didn't see God's provision then. She didn't see any provision while they traveled to Bethlehem. She felt at loss, lonely. She didn't feel any provision when she went out into the field that morning. When she labored with sweat in the heat of the day, when her eyes were filled with tears while trying to frantically grab little broken pieces, little husk, I bet she cried. I bet tears rolled down her cheeks because her life was now reduced to this. She wasn't seeing any provision. She wasn't feeling any provision. But just then, after all this time of not seeing any provision, she wasn't feeling any provision, but all of a sudden she began to see. She began to see that she just so happened to be in the right place. She just so happened to be in the field of the kindest landowner, probably in Bethlehem. She just so happened to be in the safest field. And for the first time in her life, a God was kind to her. By the end of the day, by the time she went to sleep after laughing and hugging Naomi, she was just only beginning to see that all along, there was never a moment when God was not providing. And that's the encouragement for you. There is never a moment, no matter what you are feeling, there's never a moment when God is not providing. So friends, will you trust God? Will you trust Him? The faithful God is faithfully working to provide. Trust his faithfulness to provide for your needs today. Let's pray. Lord, what an amazing story we see in this chapter. We see that you are faithful to provide, and you always were. You always were. Even when Ruth didn't feel it, when she was destitute and she was out there scraping in the field and she didn't feel any provision, she felt the loneliness. But yet by the end of the day, she was able to see that that entire time, no matter what she was feeling, you were always providing. You had always been in control. That you had always been kind to her. That you noticed her. So Lord, I pray that you would also bring that same encouragement today to my church family here, to those who are in need, that regardless of what we see now or feel now, there is never a moment when you are not providing. There's never a moment when you're not in control. Great is your faithfulness. Help us to sing those words from the heart. In Jesus' name, amen.